show Chilly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelley.
December 2, 2021, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this indeed is the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me say this. Anyway, it is Thursday, and second to last broadcast day of the week for the O'Shelley.com radio network. But who knows when you're hearing this? It could be some other time, some other place. Everything is out there in podcast form, and everything is on demand. Well, this is going to be an unusual December because I have one person booked on every single Thursday this December. And who might that be? My friend, the guy I did a long series with, that people are emailing me about constantly. To be honest with you, at least a couple times a week, I get brand new emails from people who say, I didn't know that this series existed. Jordan Maxwell. Now, before I start talking to Jordan, he's already with me, but before I start talking to Jordan, a couple things I want to remind you of. There is only one website that is Jordan Maxwell's. A lot of people try and use his name. Other people try and sell his stuff. Other people do. But if you actually want to go to the website that is Jordan Maxwell's, you got to go to jordanmaxwellshow.com. And, I'm pretty sure that's still the only place where if you wanted to contribute to his well-being, if you wanted to become part of the research society, guess what? All that stuff is there at jordanmaxwellshow.com. It is the only website that is actually Jordan's, okay? His stuff is everywhere. Everybody knows Jordan Maxwell, who is, maybe not looking for just the mainstream opinion on things. Of course, he's been on a lot of History Channel shows, stuff like that. But that very long series that we did, which was about what? It was about theology. And, we went through that bit by bit, took your questions, did all that stuff, and there's still new people finding it. Because we put it out everywhere that we could. And you know how it is. A lot of that stuff gets suppressed, but it's been a while, and people ask me questions, and I say, because they want to know, how is Jordan doing? Why hasn't he been on your show? All these different things they ask me, and I tell them, look, if you want to speak to Jordan yourself, why don't you email him at his website? I don't speak for the man. I never have, never will. I'm not one of those guys, but more than pleased to have him back on. It's been a little while, Jordan, and I know you have an announcement to make about something that's happening in the next few days. And I'm glad that you're going to announce it here tonight. That's going to be in the City of Angels. Los Angeles, yes, that place that I always tell you seems like it's from another planet. Well, you got to go off-world to celebrate Jordan Maxwell's birthday. And Jordan's going to tell us about that a little bit and a lot of other things. I got to shut up here because I've got 2 hours with Jordan. I don't want to waste them talking. I want to spend them listening, learning, and, having a little back and forth with my friend that I'm extremely grateful to have back, who is one of the people who absolutely shaped my way of thinking, the way of thinking of many of my listeners. I know that for sure. And people around the world that I guarantee you he has no idea he's even touched, along with the many, many individuals who have contacted him. But again, you want to reach out to Jordan directly? You can go to that website, jordanmaxwellshow.com, because that's his. And you want to go to his birthday party? Well, that might be possible as well, because if you email official Jordan Maxwell at protonmail.com, that email, you might be able to get yourself on the invite list for Jordan's birthday party, which is coming up in a few days. So, although his birthday is not until the end of this month, anyway, Jordan, how are you doing tonight?
Well, pretty good, I think. We'll find out soon.
We'll find out exactly how well you're doing shortly.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I think.
It's been a long time since I've been able to bring you on the air, and I certainly didn't want to press you, but people keep asking, where is Jordan? What is he doing? Is he okay? And I say all the time, I don't want to speak for you. So, for all the people that have asked that, and asked where you've been, what's been going on. I mean, open air, you can tell them now, and I can stop answering these emails, Jordan. What do you say?
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay.
So, what has been going on? What do you want to tell people? Because 2021, we have not heard much from you. We did hear from you last year. We completed that series last year, you and I. Again, I'm extremely blessed and grateful to have just been along for the ride on a 25-part series that you and I did, you know, relating to the dogmatic theology was really the name of the series. It was exactly what Jordan wanted to do on my show. I said, Jordan, if this is what you want to do, we'll do it. He said, we're going to go as many episodes as it takes to cover it. And when Jordan said he felt as though we had covered all of the aspects that we wanted to, we were done. And that's what you guys have out there. And I made sure it was available in every place I could put it out. And I might indeed re-release it just to make sure it goes through any of the new stuff that we have as far as, you know, platforms, facilities, whatever, this year. But again, people have been wondering what you've been up to, how you've been. How would you answer that in general, Jordan?
In general, I've been very sick. I'm 81 years old in December. And that's why I'm having a birthday party, because I may not be here much longer.
Right.
And so I'm having a birthday party in Los Angeles. And you can tell the people where they can contact me. If you want to be at the party, I'd like to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, if you email, if you email, and this is all one word, officialjordanmaxwell@protonmail.com. If you email Jordan there, it's a special address. It's different than the one on the website. I do want you to go to his website, but this is for the birthday party, as far as I know. And this is the way to get a hold of him about this. And it's going to happen, sometime this week, even though your birthday's later in the month. You're still 80 right now, Jordan, right?
Yes, I'm 80 right now, but I will be 81 on December 28th. And we're planning on being in Los Angeles on the 28th to talk to the people about anything they want to talk about. And I do have a couple of subjects I want to talk about. And so I said that if you want to be at the birthday party, you can email me at officialjordanmaxwell@protonmail.com.
Right. So definitely email Jordan if you're going to be available to be in Los Angeles and you'd like to meet him in person and celebrate his 81st birthday. So there you have it. That's the big announcement right now. There was some book that was supposed to come out fairly recently related to you, and I don't know if that project got finished. I do know that you were sick for a bit. And you had kind of, you had to deal with your health first. But I'm so happy that you're, well, frankly, Jordan, still with us. You know, we've lost some people. It's been some trying times over the past couple of years. And I'm extremely glad that you're still with us. And so, you know, here's a rare opportunity. I wish I could get to Los Angeles in the next few days. But if you're able to and you want to be there, like we said, email Jordan, and I guess you'll work out the details and let people know how to get together with you face-to-face, right?
Yes, that's right. And I really would like to know ahead of time how many people are planning to be there so I can make sure there'll be plenty of room.
Right. No, you want to be able to accommodate everybody. Exactly. Exactly. So if you email Jordan that way, that's how you get there. Okay. So, Jordan, you know, I know you have certain subjects that you want to maybe speak to people face-to-face about, but what should we cover tonight? as far as a discussion. I love having discussions with you about anything that you've covered. We've discussed astrotheology. We have discussed the great deception of the government. We have discussed, and I do mean the government as, you know, we were allegedly taught it is versus what it actually does. We have talked about, well, you know, the many interesting twists and turns in what people call the Bible, for sure. We have talked about the solar messiahs. We have talked about, there are many different subjects you and I have covered. But what is it at the front of your mind? And, you know, I don't think you and I have actually discussed alien life all that much, although you had that award, I think it was in 2020, at one of those conferences that focuses on off-world activities. Although we did briefly discuss it. You know, but where is your mind at today? What is it that you would like to cover?
Well, I think the extraterrestrial connection to the trouble we're having in the world today, because that, in fact, is what's going on. We are being led down the garden path by extraterrestrial minds, and the government knows that, and they are trying to do what they can. And so I think I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
Well, and that is a deep topic. And over the years, I'm not saying these are your words, but over the years, we've heard a lot of things about this. In recent years, the official stuff from the Pentagon has actually come out where they've explained, we see things in the sky that we don't know how to explain, finally. You were on different series on television talking about this subject years ago. You know, and not just years ago, but only a few years ago, a decade ago. I mean, of course, people have come to you about this. But, you know, the changing times, it seems, have given us this idea that, oh, well, there is some government acknowledgement that there are things going on in the sky and, well, above ground, let's say, and I do mean flying above ground, that are going on, but that's not what you're talking about, is it?
No, not really. What I'm talking about is the actual trouble that the country is having today and the people behind the problems in America. Mm. And I believe that that is the extraterrestrial. Mm. I have my reasons.
Well, does it have anything to do with the, you know, again, this is going to sound silly maybe, but, you know, people have talked to me about the meeting with the American government, let's just call them off-world species.
Yes, our intelligences.
And other intelligences, which, again, you can't necessarily describe as people or animals. They are something other. And one would say that, you know, there's a lot of esoteric aspects to this, but let's get down to how it is they could influence, because they're not simply, you know, the invaders who show up and the abductors and all this kind of thing, you know, the X-Files sort of stuff, although that's not exactly the fantasy of a scriptwriter, is it?
No, it is not, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, it actually is true that there is some kind of a connection between the extraterrestrial life forms and the human race. And it starts off in Genesis. Genesis 1:1. It says in the Bible, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say that in Hebrew.
No.
It doesn't say God created the heavens and the earth. It says, reason why is because God is El. E-L is God in Hebrew. But in the Hebrew Bible, it says, but in the beginning, the Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And of course, us, we were created by the Elohim. Elohim are simply the demons with the devil. The devil and his demons are referred to the El and Elohim. The Elohim is many, many gods, and they're all very important because they all have the qualities of a god. And so they know how we were created. They know our DNA in the human family and how we're created. So they know how to manipulate us. And I have heard doctors talk about in their lectures on the computer. I've heard doctors talk about the human brain. And they have said that the human brain does not generate thinking. If you have any thoughts, when you get a thought, it's not coming from the human brain. The human brain does one thing only. It coordinates the movement of the human body. If you're going to play baseball or football, you need to coordinate your brain with what's going on, and that's what the brain does. It coordinates action. Mm-hmm. It does not create thought. If you're having a thought, it's coming from somewhere else. Science would tell you it's not coming from your mind. And so many people think that they are thinking, but in fact they're not thinking. And so when everyone is thinking the same thing, it just means that everybody's thinking wrong. Because they're thinking that it's their thoughts, but they don't know that their thoughts are not their own. Somebody else is putting the thoughts into their mind. And your brain is only operating in the physical world, trying to help you to coordinate your actions. And so it takes care of your body, and your mind takes care of your body. It coordinates your movements. If you're climbing a tree or if you're playing a game or whatever, the brain controls your body, period. That's all it does. And so if you think you're getting a message, it's not coming from your brain. So it's coming from somewhere. Science says they don't know where it's coming from. They have no idea how thoughts are created. They just know it's not the brain doing it. So I am assuming that people know that the Bible talks about the devil and his demons. And the demons are the Elohim. Elohim is the God in the plural. El, and in the plural, Lohim. Elohim are the gods in plural. Meaning, God said, or the gods said, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. After our likeness.
Speaking in the plural, always. Yeah.
Always.
And just to go back to the brain, Jordan, just to go back to the brain really quickly, because this point about the plural of Elohim is extremely important. I have also, you know, I think this same way and try to relate this to people. Some people don't want to accept it because they believe it's, you know, about the one God and all of that, but it's written right there in the original language. You look at the English, it's different. But Elohim is a plural. But back to the brain really quickly, isn't it fair to say that the brain is almost like a radio? And I do mean an old radio, wherein it doesn't actually make any of the sounds, but it receives a signal. And then things can come out of it physically. Physically, sound comes out of the radio, just like you can speak a thought. But it is not necessarily that the radio creates any of the sounds you're hearing. They are created somewhere else, transmitted to it, and interpreted. So this is something to keep in mind when you see a collective sort of thought that seems to emerge among Well, people with the same sort of equipment. We all have a brain, and we could talk about the brain some more, but I do want you to go further about this pluralism that needs to be understood about Elohim. But wouldn't you say it's fair to think of the brain as almost like a radio of sorts, of course a more complex one, that receives signals and then allows you to operate and interpret those signals and create physicality, create the physical movements that are speech and everything else? This is the way this works. Am I right?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Okay. So going on with the plural, you know, and this has always been interesting because as you go further into Genesis, as you said, we are to make man in our own image. Okay. But that's another kind of misnomer among people where they think, okay, man was created, but he wasn't really fully created. They decided to take something else that existed. And even when they're talking about the heavens and the earth, it sounds to me like they took something that existed and reformed it. In other words, you know, here is the firmament, they call it, right?
Yes.
And they took that and made, here's heaven, here's earth. So it is like terraforming. It is like reforming. And even when we talk about the creation of man, it's still the we and us deciding to make them in our own image. But they're actually taking something else that exists, sounds like to me, and reshaping it, remolding it. Am I right about that?
Yes. And I would add that the word man in Hebrew is spelled I-S-H. The word in Hebrew for man is ish. And therefore men are referred to as ish. So therefore God did not create ish. The gods did not create ish. Meaning the gods did not create man. They created Adam. A-D-M. We put another A in the word and make it Adam. A-D-A-M. No, Adam is the word that is used in the Hebrew. A-D-M. Mm. And that's why they call us the pre-Adamic man. Adam is a special kind of man. He is not ish. Therefore, we would expect that Genesis 1:1 to say El is God. We would expect that Genesis 1:1 to say in the beginning El created ish. But it doesn't say El created ish. It says El Lohim created Adam. A-D-M. Hmm. And therefore, we were not created by God. We were created by the extraterrestrials. That's what the Bible says. So if you want to believe the scriptures, that's what it says. We were created by the gods. Hmm. And so that's a very different idea than what most Christians think.
Well, right. The first thing is they think of the singular God, first of all, and they also, here's another thing about Elohim, to my understanding, is that that is not necessarily the male God even, right? Because there is gender assigned here, and when you say Elohim, my understanding is that this means mixed, actually. There's a mixed gender involved here in the group. So it's not a matter of creation. It's a matter of manipulation, sort of, as one would maybe do genetic engineering, and as one would maybe do in the case of the firmament being formed into the heaven, the earth, and all of this. We're talking about terraforming and genetic engineering, as opposed to outright creation is being described here, unless I'm wrong.
I think you're probably right. I don't know how they were able to create us, the extraterrestrials, that created the human family, but they said, come let us. Who is us?
Right.
Come let us create a special kind of man, Adam. Let us create a man named Adam, A-D-M. I've looked it up in the Hebrew. That's what the word is, A-D-M. Not Adam, A-D-A-M, no. Adam, A-D-M. And then we are told that the different kinds of gods are all demonic demons. So we're talking about the devil and his demons. The demons is a word in the Greek, daimon. Daimon in Greek is a spirit creature that is under the influence of what we call the devil. Take the word evil and put a D in front of the word evil and becomes devil. The devil is evil. And then take a O out of the word good, becomes God is good. G-O-D or G-O-O-D, God is good and the devil is evil. And the difference between the two, God is the Son. Is God's Son is the God that we worship on Sunday, S-U-N day. Right. Why? Because it brings light into the world. This is why we say God's Son is Jesus. He is the light of the world. Of course, the Son, S-U-N, is the light of the world. And the world is lit up every morning by the returning of God's Son, S-U-N. But we are speaking Anglo-Saxon. Our language is called an Anglo-Saxon language. Right. Anglo meaning it's an English language based on Saxon. And Saxony was German. And this is why Germany is the Holy Roman Empire today. The Holy Roman Empire is German. And this is why Hitler was trying to establish the old ancient religions of the powerful Elohim. Mm-hmm. The gods or the demons. And this is what we are dealing with today when we are trying to figure out where these UFOs are coming from. I know that they are coming from somewhere very far away. Very far away.
Well, a very tough question, Jordan, is this, and I don't know how you would like to explain it, but again, these things become very confused when there are different languages that they are translated into. We get different versions. And I have always found it remarkable that look, the Son being the light of the world, the Son of God, and you and I have talked many times about how, look, of course it is the center of the world and something you should pay homage to, because without the Son, it's all over. And we get that.
It certainly is.
Okay, so, but here's the weird thing about this, is that in the language you also get people saying that, well, the concept of Lucifer, now you talked about the devil, and there is a difference between the standardized devil and Lucifer, although they share many of the same characteristics in many literatures, okay? But
yes.
Lucifer was supposed to be the light bringer. So how is it that we have the Savior, the Son of God, also bringing us light, because he is literally the S-U-N, even though we say S-O-N, and as you and I have discussed, O and U are interchangeable, okay? But you also have the light bringer, which is eventually in the old language, he is the adversary, actually.
Yes.
So how is it that we see that both of them are bringing light to the world in the literature? What is going on there, Jordan?
Well, we see people who lie to us, who know better but tell us lies, but they're telling us something. And if we are foolish enough to believe them, then we are a loss because we don't know that they are lying to us. And so that's why the Elohim created us, and they created us to be like them, and that's why we hear people who are abducted. They say that the Elohim or the extraterrestrials look like us. And they look like us. We're made in their image and their likeness. What do you mean likeness? Well, in other words, we are made like them. They made us to be like them. That's very scary to think that these spirits are like humans. We're just as equal as the spirit world, and we're just as crazy as they are. And that's why we are involved in world wars and violence and bloodshed and rape and pillaging and all kinds of things going on, because we look like the devil and we act like the devil, and we are actually like them. And so most people have never heard this. And so I asked a rabbi in Israel, one of the leading rabbis in Israel, I asked, why, if you know this about Elohim, and you're not talking about one God over the whole universe, you're talking about different gods, and they're all different, and why don't you tell the people the truth? And he told me, he said, look, give me a break. You've got a religion called the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church. You've got your own religion. I have to have a religion. And so I have to tell the people what I believe in is the religion. And so that's why they are telling us what they want to tell us. They know better, but they want us to believe what they believe. But belief is extremely important. Just know that it is a belief. And if you believe something, that means you don't know for sure, you just believe. And so that's why we have a story of the Bible. The Bible is the greatest story ever told. And the reason why it is a story, it's just a story. Most people do not realize that the Bible is not really God's word. It is written by Gnostics and people who were Gnostics. And the one Gnostic was the Apostle Paul. He was a Gnostic, a Greek Gnostic. And he was aware of all the Gnostic writings, which are profoundly stories. It's called the Gnostic Bible. And if you realize that the Apostle Paul was not a Christian as such, he was a Gnostic Christian. Gnostic means to know. And so he did not believe anything. He was a knower. He knew what the words meant as a Gnostic. He knew what the words meant, where the concepts came from. And so he was a Gnostic. And this is very important, because you need to realize 3/4 of the New Testament was written by a man who was not a Christian. He was a Gnostic. And that's why so many things today don't make any sense, because we don't know those. We don't know that the things written in the New Testament about Jesus were a Gnostic story. And it's just a story. It doesn't matter, you know, what you believe is a story that's given in a metaphor. And that's why the metaphor is telling us about God's Son, S-U-N. And God's Son is the light of the world. Well, of course the Son is the light of the world. What else lights our world but the sun. And when the sun goes down, it's gone. There's no light. There's no light. Therefore, we're in the dark. And we're all in the dark when it comes to theology and religion. Most people think the Christianity is nothing but sun worship. Because if you say God's son, S-O-N, is German. And that's what we are speaking. We're speaking Anglo-Saxon. Anglo is sun. Anglo is English. And in the King's English, it's spelled S-U-N. In the morning, he comes up and we say that the sun is victorious. He comes back. Why? Because the Son of God said he would return. And he returns every morning. And every night, he goes away and leaves the world in the hands of the Prince of Darkness. In the hands of the Prince of Darkness, he leaves the whole world. But now he's coming back, and he's going to bring back the light, and therefore he is the light of the world. And therefore, this is why we go to church on Sunday, S-U-N day. We go to church on Sunday, and people don't realize what the words mean and where the words have come from. The very word church is a very important word. It goes back to the Crusades, when the Pope sent the Knights Templars in the Crusade to the Middle East to deal with the Islamic world and take back the land that the Pope felt was his, because they represent the New Testament. And so the land was cleared of all of the influences of Islam, but the Knights Templars, which was a Masonic order inside the Catholic Church, it was called Freemasonry, and the Freemasons were Knights Templars, and they formulated the idea that they were German Freemasons. Mm-hmm. In German, the word is sun, S-O-N. But in Anglo, because we are Anglo-Saxon, but in Anglo, it's S-U-N. And therefore, the sun was S-O-N, God's son. And I would say, if you ask somebody who owns the sun, S-U-N. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking if you are philosophical about the question, or if you're religious, right, you might say that God owns the sun. Therefore, God's sun is the light of the world. Of course, the sun is the light of the world. What else lights our world but the sun? And so this is the basis for what I am talking about. I've been talking about.
Right.
Because I know that we are mixing languages. We're mixing the German language with the English language.
Right.
English is referred to by people who teach English in England, is referred to as Anglo-Saxon. Anglo-Saxon.
Right.
And so Anglo means English, based on the Saxon language, based on the German language.
Right. And you can see that there are German words that are part of the, you know, in air quotes, English language. You know, they're there blatantly. Couple of things. Gnosis, as you said, you know, this is Gnosis spelled with a G. It literally means knowledge. So a Gnostic would be someone who has knowledge. And that is different. Knowing is different than believing, as you said. And look, you can see the use of that word also in something like hypnosis, which, you know, hip is to be above, hyper above. okay, like that. So hypnosis is above the knowledge. This is what the technique is supposed to get to. So you're supposed to be above the knowledge and be able to take a different view of it. That's the point of hypnosis. In addition, the etymology on
that's
the word
church.
That's why
you have to spell a yes. word.
Yes. And that's the other thing. It's just the idea that you call that spelling. Well, what do you do when you cast a spell, you speak? Which is another right. interesting part about that first part of Genesis, where, you know, they say what happens, the first thing, well, God speaks, or the gods, technically, because as we just explained, we're talking about a plural. The gods speak, and they declare things in there. And when they do, they're casting spells. Spelling it out, you see. So all of this fits together and begins to make more sense if you're paying attention to the language. I don't mean you, Jordan. You know all this. This is what you teach. But I'm just telling you that this is what people should be receiving from what you're saying, as we talked about. This is what your brain should be getting from the device that's receiving the signal you're hearing right now. Okay. Yes. So I'm tying it all together as you go, Jordan. I just clarifying giving you a chance to figure out where you want to go next. But these are important things. Also, with the etymology on the word church, it's an interesting one because it is also akin to the word circus.
That's right. That's why you have a three-ring circus, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You got
it. A three-ring circus.
Now, where does the word circus come from? Well, figure this one out. Circe.
It comes from a goddess in the Middle East, in Arabia, a goddess.
Circe.
A woman god.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Her house, which has the three rings in it, is the circus, which becomes church later. But again, the much harder sounding version of it when you look at the etymology, because why is it with the harder consonants? That's German. That's the way that goes. So,
that's right.
Tell me where I'm wrong, Jordan. Am I picking this up correctly?
I think you are, yes.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to make sure I'm on track with you here. So as you were saying, though, when you talk about the Knights Templar, which is a funny thing, and I always like to bring this up, that they still exist today. As what? As part of these secret societies that still exist, like Freemasonry. Matter of fact, they work hand in hand with what we think of as the Freemasons. And they're an even more secretive group than the Freemasons still.
Yes, they are. And they are a Catholic Freemasons.
There you go. Which, you know, the Freemasons, for people that are brought in and, you know, usually not necessarily part of the greater inner circles, but even if you're invited in, what do they always tell you? Well, you know, you have to at least accept the idea that there is a higher power. Sort of like what they do with Alcoholics Anonymous, but anyway, that's another subject. You have to accept that there is a higher power, not necessarily that they tell you a specific religion per se when you're being introduced into that society, which, by the way, look at the etymology on the word society, you'll figure some things out, but that's a bonus for somebody to want to go do their own research, which I advise you, you the listener, to do your own research on everything that Jordan is saying. It's fascinating to just decode the language that is right there in front of you as we go forward. Sorry, Jordan, I just wanted to make sure we were clear on all that. And catch the etymology. I might have to add a bunch of research links into this show notes, but that's okay. This is what we're here for. So continuing on, you have the Crusades, as you said, and they were there to battle, and take back the land that the Pope said was his. And that's an interesting thing, too. What about the Pope? Jordan?
Well, he's called the Holy Father
mm-hmm.
because he speaks for God. He's the original Godfather.
There you go.
So if you know anything about the Mafia, they have a godfather, the Holy Father, who speaks for God as a godfather. Mm-hmm. That's why you have all the big industrialists and the big shots of the world going to the Vatican to pay homage to the Pope. And they bow down and they kiss his ring, because you have better kiss his ring. If he decides he doesn't like you anymore and he doesn't need you anymore, you are a dead man walking. And so that's why they kiss his ring. And in the movie, The Godfather, they have people kissing the Godfather's ring the same way they do in Rome, because he's the Godfather. Mm-hmm. All of this is all very difficult for most people to comprehend. But I am sure, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever, that the most evil empire that's ever existed on the earth is not the Mafia. It is very dangerous and is very evil. But I think there is a more, very, very much more to the story than that. I think the most evil empire that's ever existed on the earth is the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
The Vatican has been the home of La Cosa Nostra, of the Mafia, and as I said, the Godfather, and all of the Italian mobsters. And we are told that if you are in the mob in America, you are Jewish, because the Jewish implications of the Mafia are overwhelming when you begin to really look into it. So if you are a Mafia, you are Jewish. And Jewish is a very important symbol in the Mafia language.
Mm-hmm.
And we are told that the God in Egypt was the main God, the most important single God in all of Egypt, was the Aton, A-T-O-N. Aton was the sun god of Egypt. And therefore, the Jews will tell you we're not supposed to use the name of God, because if you do, you're using his name in vain. You're not supposed to use the name of God. But we are told that there is a word that you can use that refers to the name of God, but it's not his name. It's just talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Israeli God, the Israel God of Israel. And that word is tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton is a word that is used to denote the Jewish God. And the Jewish God is tetragrammaton, is his name. Or that's a word that we can use. We can use that way. Word, that is all right to use.
Yeah.
Tetra is four. Gram, G-R-A-M-M, is a letter like A, B, C, D. So tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton. The Aton was the sun god of Egypt, Tetragrammaton.
Right.
And so, and now we find that there isn't just one god over the whole universe, or there isn't one power over the universe. There may be, but we're not being told that. Being told that it's a group of gods, and they are saying that it's a tetragrammaton, a tetragrammaton.
Right.
The Aton was a very powerful and dark, evil god in Egypt. And this is why today we are being led down the garden path because of our ignorance, and we don't know that Atan was a sun. And therefore, we can spell it in the Anglo or Saxon. We can spell it in the Anglo, which is English, S-U-N. That we go on to church on Sunday, S-U-N day. Right. Or in German, if you were German, you would go to church on S-O-N, Sunday. This is why your boy is referred to as your son. He is a light of your life. And therefore, the S-U-N is what's being talked about when you're talking about God's son. And most people do not know that they're in religion and in Christianity, there was, in fact, no man ever put on a cross. Right. No man ever died on a cross. And so it was pictured by an animal with a flag, was a symbol of Christianity. A sheep with a flag, a German flag, was a God's son. S-O-N. And so today we are still worshiping God's son, S-O-N, never realizing it's actually S-U-N. And therefore we say that God's son was the light of the world. And he has lit up the world. And we wake up each morning to welcome God's son. And we go to church on Sunday.
Right. So, Jordan, one thing to clarify here is you talked about the Godfather and the Mafia. So, you know, you might recall that I know a little something about this.
And, yeah, I do too.
You know, and so here's the thing to keep in mind. A Godfather within the organization that most people would call the Mafia, however, correctly translated actually, you're dealing with the Black Hand. You're dealing with organizations that all fall under the same structure that are not actually called the Mafia. But that's okay. Mafia is a particular word, and I urge you to check out the etymology on that. Let's go back to this Godfather. The Godfather in that sort of organization is really in an interesting spot. If you do something that does not have the approval of the Godfather, and you may know this from the movies, but I assure you the movies do not explain this entirely. This is...
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and say it. That I just wanted to make this really clear that there is a real meaning behind what you're saying. You're not just... you know, putting these words together and saying, okay, this is the Godfather. But if you think about both the Pope and an individual within this, again, they call it a family structure, but it has a militaristic hierarchy as well. And why am I bringing this up? Because this all makes a lot of sense when you think about the Holy Roman Empire. The idea that the only man who could make a declaration that the entire world belongs to the church is the man who's speaking for God, in quotes, right? Which, by the way, there is a papal declaration that says every soul, everything on the earth belongs to the church.
Yes.
And that's the thing, is again... a Godfather in the criminal organization, what people think of as the criminal organization, although I would tell you that the Vatican is also a criminal organization, but you have to figure it out for yourself because they've been at it a lot longer than the Black Hand, okay,
that's right.
Who handle very minor vices and things like this. The real professionals... have been able to, you know, not pull off a couple of hits in the street, but wage war. They have been able to lay waste to entire people, as opposed to maybe just a couple of guys who didn't pay their debts. And why is it? Because both the Pope and the, let's just call him the fictional godfather that maybe Francis Ford Coppola showed you a glimpse of, both of them must approve of everything. If you notice, marriages must be approved by the church. They must be approved by the godfather. Well, in what people, again, colloquially call the mafia, you're not marrying anybody who's connected to that situation without getting the approval of the godfather. Just like with the church, Jordan, same thing. Isn't that funny?
Yes, it is. And the very word church, it implies something totally different than what most people think. If you knew where the word church comes from, you would never use that.
Oh, I know. And it's interesting because the concept is still alive in what we call the scripture, where they, you know, they talk about the idea that you are in a state of worship if you are together, and worship is another word, which we may have to break down in the second hour because we're almost out of time on this and I want to take a break. But the thing is that if you come together, if more than one person is together for the idea that they are there to commune with God, then they are at church, basically. But that's not how it's used, is it, Jordan?
No.
So
the word church comes from a goddess in the Arabic world, a female god, a goddess. Her name was Circe. And we get the word circle and circus from the goddess Circe. And that's why you have a three-ring circus.
Well, how would you...
Holy Ghost.
How would you describe Circe, though? Because, you know, the circus, people might think, well, that's fun. No, Circe was not a fun goddess, according to my reading, Jordan.
No.
Yeah. So how would you describe Circe exactly? To give people an idea as to what it is being invoked when you're talking about a church and a circus, therefore the house of Circe. What is being invoked with the use of that word?
Circe was a goddess that was able to hypnotize people. She was able to go over their heads and hypnotize them so that they would believe something that wasn't true. And then with that, she was able to hypnotize a lot of people, and therefore she was able to, when she hypnotized people, she would take their minds away and would take their minds out of their heads. And she would take their minds away so they could not think. Mm-hmm. And this is why the church today does that, because it comes from the word Circe.
Right. So when I brought up hypnosis earlier, because, Jordan, I'm going to go to the break, but when I brought up the word hypnosis earlier, there was a reason. Above knowledge, right? So you know things, but we can go above that knowledge. Circe can go above that knowledge with the circus, right? Her house, you're in her house. Listen, you got to play by her rules. And the thing is, she has the ability to go above what you know.
And she is Mother Church.
You got it.
Mother Church. And that's why the windows at a church are always pointed arches. That is a female opening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a female church. And it's Mother Church. And the priests of the church, if they're wearing robes, are wearing a female garment. And they are male inside the female garment. And so, therefore, they are male inside of a female, Mother Church. And that's why you have the doors to a church are always pointed arches. And that's why the windows are pointed arches, because it's a female opening.
Exactly. Jordan Maxwell is with me. We're going to take a break, guys, but we're going to continue this discussion as... I don't even know what to call this, but we're breaking down the language and getting you to understand what is actually being, well, transmitted for your brain to receive, like we started out the conversation, right? And these transmissions are at all times available, sort of like those radio transmissions, which I metaphorically described. They're always out there, but it depends on how your radio is tuned. Anyway, stay tuned to the Ocelli Effect. I'll be right back with Jordan Maxwell. Again, jordanmaxwellshow.com is his only website. That is the only one that is Jordan Maxwell's. And we're going to talk about more of this right after the break.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Ocelli.com.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Revelation through conversation.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to the Ocelli Effect at Ocelli.com.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Learn from our relatively recent history, my brother. That's where I'm coming from. I say, oh, wow, beautiful.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media. Chuck Ocelli.
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect begins now at Ocelli.com. But, of course, you could be listening some other time, some other place, and some other way, I guess. No matter who it is, when it is, where it is, welcome. So, again, the second half of the Thursday night show, Thor's Day, if you will. Also, you know, take a look at your calendar days. Sunday we talked about quite a bit here, S-U-N-D-A-Y, but, you know, it's actually S-O-N-D-A-Y, if you're talking about what that day is supposed to be for. You got your Moon Day, your Monday, you got your Tears Day, Tuesday, you got your Woden's Wednesday, okay, W-Odin's Day, Woden's Day. You got Thor's Day, you got Friar's Day, and then you got Saturn Day. Yeah, that's the way the calendar really should look, but as per usual, if you don't know the etymology, it's hard to sort out. But before we get into any more of that, Jordan Maxwell, again, is having his birthday party in a few days. And it's going to be in Los Angeles, which, you know, the city of angels, right? Which angel is a word I want to ask you about in a few minutes. But before we get there again, your birthday party, and people could, if they would like to join you there, let you know. And you do want to hear from them ahead of time so you can figure out exactly how many people you need to accommodate. Because you're going to turn 81 at the end of this month. And I'm just glad you're still here, quite frankly. And really, really grateful to be talking to you. But they can get in touch with you by emailing official Jordan Maxwell at protonmail.com. So official Jordan Maxwell at protonmail.com. Is that all correct, Jordan, or did I miss something?
No, that's correct.
Okay. And again, if you want to follow up on tonight's discussion, I urge you to go over to jordanmaxwellshow.com. You can reach out and make a donation if you like, and contribute to Jordan's well-being if you like over at jordanmaxwellshow.com. You could also send him an email directly and stop emailing me questions about about how Jordan's doing. I will never, ever attempt to speak for Jordan, even if I've just spoken to him. I'm not going to relay stuff because I don't believe that is any of my business. And I'll tell you something. you can listen to many of the shows that I've done with Jordan, and we've talked about when it's somebody's business, what kind of company they keep and everything else. On previous shows, but that's not necessarily where we are right now in the discussion. We've been going over, we started with the idea of the brain, exactly what that does, and what it is you might have received from the book, the Bible, as far as the English version of it. Oh, by the way, what is English? Funny, though, the word ish comes up there, Jordan.
Yeah.
That's got something to do with something here. But anyway, the English language versus the original scripture. We talked about Elohim, what Elohim might have done, the pluralistic existence of the gods, etc., etc. And quite frankly, we ended on the Tetragrammaton in the last hour. But there is a whole world of knowledge actually right in front of you if you choose to decode it. And a lot of it is hidden in the language. The English language, indeed, is quite an interesting creation, a designer language in and of itself. But anyway, Jordan, where shall we go from here?
Well, I think we've covered everything I wanted to. We could go back to the extraterrestrials and the UFO experience that we are having on the Earth right now. The government is now telling us there is, in fact, something going on that they have no control over. And well, that they are, in fact, seeing UFO, extraterrestrial vehicles. And they don't know where they're coming from.
Right.
Well, I would like to tell you where they're coming from. There is a book out that's written thousands of years ago. It's called The Theogony of Hesiod. Hesiod was an old Greek, what would you call them? He had animals at night. He would look over his animals at night. He was a, what would you call them?
Well, he had flocks of animals.
Yes.
So, you know, some people might, and again, this word is commonly used in scripture, shepherd.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Hesiod, H-E-S-I-O-D. And he has a book called Theogony. And the reason why is because the, T-H-E, it was God in the ancient Greek language, the. This is why we say you were working for a man, but I was working for the man, meaning I was working for a man that was far higher than any man you would be working for. Mm-hmm. The, T-H-E, man. I'm working for the man. And the, T-H-E, was God.
Right.
And so Hesiod was a Greek, what did you call him?
Shepherd.
Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was out minding his sheep one night. And he said that three angels floated across the land. They didn't come and walk up to him. They floated up to him. And they said, they talked to him. They talked to Hesiod.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they wanted him to write a book about all the gods that are in heaven. And that he said that he was not literate. He was not, he couldn't read or write. And they said, we will direct you. You can just do what we tell you to do, and you will write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so they began talking to him. And they called them, not angels, but he called them as Muses, M-U-S.
Right.
Muses.
Now before you go,
we get the word music.
Yes, music, of course. And it has to do with this disembodied inspiration is what
yes.
a muse is supposed to be, right? People
yes.
have commonly used that, and I was a musician at one point, and I would say that I received inspiration from where I know not to arrange sounds and create melody and rhythm and so on. And just to go back to this this word thee or thee, depending, and that's a minor different pronunciation, but it reveals itself when you change it. You and I would say thee, but thee, right? You kind of blur the two together.
Study of God is called
theology.
Study of God is called theology.
Right.
Meaning it's an ology, it's a study of God.
Just like
it's
biology. Just like biology is the study of life. Bio meaning life.
That's right.
Right, and theology would be the study of not
God,
a God, but the God. Right?
Yeah, the God.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I just wanted to clarify that before you went any further. And it's interesting that they go to a shepherd, because you and I have also discussed in the past the use of the word the kingdom of God. And, you know, this idea of kings and kingdom. Indeed, have something to do with rulership over animals.
That's right.
Because what do you think of the kingdom? What do they say? The lion is the king of the jungle. Why do they say that? Because the kingdoms are about, again, the order of animals. Now,
that's right. It's the animal kingdom.
Right. So what's interesting is when you see this idea of royalty, and the declaring themselves kings, we could talk about being anointed as well in a moment if you like, but the
yes.
idea is that they are exerting lordship over, guess what, the animals.
That's right. That's why you are referred to as a male.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up the word male or female in a dictionary, will tell you royalty is a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But normal people are referred to as male and female.
Right.
Because male and female is an animal. It's an animal. And you are called a monster in a dictionary, monster. And all of this you can see on my research website. If you go to Jordan Maxwell Research website, researchweb.s.
Right.
.is.
There is a link to it at jordanmaxwellshow.com. That's jordanmaxwellshow.com. You can get into the Research Society. There is a way to get a lifetime membership there. I have a membership there myself, personally. I would urge people to get into there, and you can study all this stuff at length that we're talking about tonight. There's books in there, there's videos in there, there's audio, all kinds of interesting stuff, which shows you these things step by step, how it is they were created, how it is they have been used, all of the things we're talking about tonight. That's another thing you could do. So, yeah, absolutely. I was definitely going to mention that before long. But keep that in mind. If you go to jordanmaxwellshow.com, you can join the Research Society. And like I said, that's access to a whole lot of stuff that the general public can look at the jordanmaxwellshow.com, jordanmaxwellshow.com website. And there's interesting stuff there, some audios. I think there's a show or two with you and I in it on there. But other presentations that you made, some images, so on and so forth. You had videos there that people could download too, that they could purchase. I don't know if that's still up there because I have it bookmarked, but I don't have it in front of me at this very second. But anyway, all that stuff is there at jordanmaxwellshow.com. So back to this discussion of the animal kingdom, though, and where you're talking about males and females, that is a big distinction. As opposed to man or woman, and this is about
masculine or feminine.
Mm-hmm. Well, masculine and feminine, true, but see, men and women are different than male and female because when you're describing anything, again, just like Hesiod would be doing here, talking about the animals that he might shepherd. They're clearly not his equals. He's running their lives. And I want to put that forth, that's something to keep in mind with royalty. But how is it that royalty gets to that point? Because they appear, Jordan, to be in the same shape as you and me. Really, how would they be any more remarkable than you or I or any other, you know, what they call male or female of the human family? How is it that they end up different? Well, they get anointed, don't they?
Yes.
And what does that mean?
Anointing is a word that is used in sex. It's a sexual transmission. It's called anointing. Mm-hmm. And then we're told that the Muses told Hesiod that if Zeus, they talked about the god Zeus, Zeus, Zeus. And this is why the S, E-U-S, instead of Z-E-U-S, is part of the name of Jesus. J-E-S-U-S or Z-E-U-S. Zeus was the god over the universe that we are living in. And Hesiod was told by the Muses that if Zeus were to drop an anvil from his front porch, it would take 9 days and 9 nights and so many hours for it to hit the earth. Well, we can easily calculate that distance, which is a little over 3 million miles from earth. So according to Hesiod and the three Muses, Zeus is named our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, Zeus. And he lives about 3 million miles from earth in the constellation that we know of the heavens called Cassiopeia. The constellation of stars in Cassiopeia is where Zeus supposedly lives. And it's about 3 million miles from our earth. But what I wanted to say is that back in 1930, there was an American astronomer named Carl Jansky, K-A-R-L Jansky, J-A-N-S-K-Y. Carl Jansky built the first radio telescope and won a Nobel Prize that was called the Father of Modern Telescopes. Then he, Karl Jansky, also built a radio transmitter to beam signals into the heavens. And in 1930, just to see what might happen, he transmitted a signal to Cassiopeia of called 14.3 megacycles. And if you will believe it, he got back an intelligent signal that was amplified, and he did not know what it meant or who sent it, but he got back a message. And so Karl Jansky proved that there was something in Cassiopeia, the constellation. Somebody was there and sent back a divine message to him. But when Karl Jansky died, all of his notes and metaphysical information that he was taking, that he got, was taken from his office by men wearing a black suits. All right. That should tell you something. And then in the mid-1940s, a Scottish astronomer named Duncan Lunan, L-U-N-A-N, Lunan, was working with Karl Jansky's radio telescope, a transmitter, a radio transmitter, and he too sent out a signal named, as aimed at Cassiopeia, and he too got back a signal about 20 seconds later, both intelligence and amplified, and he didn't know what to make of this either. He didn't know what to make of it, because he had read about Karl Jansky, and when Karl Jansky died, Duncan Lunan, the Scottish astronomer, took Karl Jansky's radio transmitter, and he too sent out a signal aimed at Cassiopeia, and he too got back a signal about 20 seconds later. And that message was both intelligent and amplified, and he didn't know what to make of this either. Well, that tells us that the government has for centuries known that Cassiopeia, there was an intelligent communications with scientists with a amplified and intelligent amplified message.
Right. Now, Jordan, does this mean that we should conclude, and, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but does this mean that we should conclude that, first of all, God is an extraterrestrial because, well, Hesiod was... Yes, look at that. He didn't even let me finish. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what does that mean for all these people who have told these various stories? And I'm not saying that all of them have been done to trick us necessarily. Some people could have been mistaken by the information they were receiving. They didn't necessarily have transmitters and receivers at certain points outside of their own brains, right?
Right.
You know, and is there a possibility that other people have received this long before that technology was available, but through other means, and understood that, well, maybe this is literally the home of not just Zeus, but how about the Elohim that apparently were also... Look, technically speaking, extraterrestrial, meaning that they don't live here. They're not from here.
That's right. You could ask a 7-year-old child, do you believe in God? Yes. Where does God live? And he will point up into the sky.
Right.
Well, what is that? When he points into the sky, he means he's up in heaven.
Right.
If he's in heaven, then where in heaven? and they will point to Cassiopeia, and then you send out a message to Cassiopeia, and you get back immediately something called a Lunan object. Look it up. It's called a Lunan object. L-U-N-A-N object. Right. The Lunan object was sending back a message. And this is why today I believe that we are praying to the wrong God. Now the word God in Greek is the Theos.
Right.
And the chief Theos of God was called Zeus, or the God the Father of all the other gods. So the ancient Greeks in prayer, it would be Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Zeus. Now, look at the word Father. Now, in the ancient Sanskrit, Father is spelled P-I-T-A-R, Peter. In the old Persian language, the word Father is Peter, P-I-T-A. So Peter and Peter is a God in both Greek and Latin. And so the Father was Peter, not Peter, P-A-T-E-R. And therefore the Jews would always refer to him as God the Father. And so this is why we call him Jupiter. Jupiter. Again, the ancient Greek, the fallen god was Zeus. And Zeus was Pater, God the Father. In Latin, the word is Zeus, but Deus. And Deus in Latin is the word God. D-E-U-S, Deus.
Deus, yeah.
Is Zeus, Z-E-U-S, or D-E-U-S, Deus. So the Latin name for God is not Zeus, but Deus. Well, so I mean, in ancient Rome, God or Zeus was called Jupiter. Jupiter.
Right, and they are the same. They are the same god. You know, from the Greeks to the Romans, you have, yes, Zeus, according to the Greeks. But when you translate the Latin, you're talking about Jupiter. Jupiter is the chief deity in the same pantheon that the Romans spoke of, except that's in Latin. And obviously, you know, the Greek god is in Greek. But it's the same. It's the same deity.
All right.
Yeah. Right, right. So,
now how many people know that?
Not many, not many. It seems. And this is okay. So this gets into a sort of tough question, because according to what I understand, again, about Zeus and how it is he freed his brothers, he's still the, you know, brothers and sisters and such. Still the chief deity, and there's a lot of things to the. What they call, you know, the mythology related to Zeus, right? And I know you know the story, but how is it that we are to interpret the idea that Zeus, who is supposed to be the father, has a father, according to the story, right?
Well,
I mean, yeah.
Catholics and Christians around the world, on their knees to praying in the Vatican, we're told they've been kissing the feet not a Peter, but Jupiter.
Right.
And so today there's a canal named in honor of Zeus. It's called the Suez Canal. The Suez Canal in the Middle East is Suez. Is Zeus spelled backwards?
Spelled backwards.
Is Suez. Right. And so we have a Suez Canal, which is Zeus spelled backwards.
Well, no, I understand that, but again, according to that mythology, right? You know the story where Zeus's mother keeps feeding the children, right, to the father, and she puts a stone in there and lets Zeus escape. And then, you know, that whole story, what is that about, or do you think that's just something that was made up to explain things?
I think
things?
It's part of the story, mm-hmm. but it's a hidden part, because the story has been hidden from us.
Right.
And we know the story, but we don't understand the implications. Right. And so we say God is love, L-O-V-E. In the Bible, it says God is love. Right. But it doesn't say that in Hebrew. It says God is Jove, J-O-V-E, not love, L-O-V-E. Right. God is Jove. Jove is another word for Zeus.
Right.
He protects, Zeus protects royalty. It was said that Zeus or God chooses the royalty, or they rule by divine right because of Zeus. And that's why we say the royalty have a divine right, because Zeus owns them, and he is the god of this area in the universe that we happen to be in. And God is Deus, D-E-U-S. And Deus is an old Persian for diva, D-A-I-V-A, which means evil or demonic god. So by a dictionary definition, the world means that Christianity worldwide is worshiping an ancient demonic god. And maybe that's why we're in so much trouble. That might explain the history of wars and bloodshed and the human savagery for thousands of years.
Well, it explains that, and it also explains the idea that, again, in the stories told about Zeus, which are described as Greek mythology, you have instances where, what does Zeus do constantly? Exactly the same kind of thing they describe for the birth of, well, the sun, which is comes down and impregnates a woman.
Yes.
And that is a constant in the tales about Zeus, right? They are literally demigods that are born from this. And that does mean that they're not gods, but they are of gods.
Yes.
So that is another element here, and part of the story, like one of the earliest ones that you can see in literature, for literature and in historical, in a historical sense, is Alexander, right?
Yes.
Who,
right.
Alexander was supposedly, according to his mother, a son of Zeus. A direct son of Zeus, right? And Alexander was a grand conqueror. He did share knowledge. He brought gnosis as he conquered. But he was a conqueror as well. And it was about subjugation. He didn't seek to destroy entire populations, but he wanted what? He wanted all of them to bend their knee and accept that he was their ruler. And this gets to another thing about the behavior of the gods in all the literatures. And this is because they are, and this is why our courts do what they do, by the way. They are judges.
And that is correct.
That's a very important thing to remember. And of course, the son of the judge, well, you know, he's got some of that right to judgment and to rulership, to be anointed. Well, wait a minute. He was created from the anointed thing that happens when the god ends up in Congress, which is another word interesting. That's got to do with sex as well, Jordan.
It certainly does.
Because that's what that is when you're in the midst. You are in Congress. when
that's
you're
right.
in the midst of sex. So, therefore.
That's right.
And here we go. Again, about the divine ruler. And, okay, why is this important? Why do I keep going back to it? Because, as you said, we're in a great deal of trouble now. And it is because of these influences, which are not of this world, but seem to have laid claim to ownership of it. And it seems as though the actual landlord, don't forget that word too, or that phrase I should say, the landlord, why do they call it that when you own a piece of property? Anyway, again,
all
I got...
All land has a lord.
Correct.
All land on the earth is in the hands of a lord. That's why we call them a landlord.
Mm-hmm.
Zeus ruled from Mount Olympus. We know that there were 15 other holy mountains. Mount Fuji in Japan, Mount Ararat in Armenia, Mount Athos in Greece, Mount Everest in the Himalayas, and Mount Shasta in California.
No, and this is the thing. Even El, right, the first god mentioned anywhere in the Bible, El, is a god of a mountain as well.
You're right. Moses went up into a mountain, and he asked God if he could see God. And God said to him, no, you can't see me and yet live. Mm-hmm. But because you have been so faithful to me and you are so good, I'm going to make an exception for you. If you go over there, and there's a rock there, a big rock, if you get behind the rock and hide your face and hide your head, and when I give you the signal, you can look out from the rock, and I will pull my pants down and you can see my butt. And then when you see my butt, that would be wonderful. It would be a wonderful experience. And then you can go back and tell your fellow Israelites that you saw God's butt. And this is why, because God is a moon god. He was a moon god.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why today, kids that will drive by and they'll put their butt out the window and they're mooning you. We say that they are mooning you.
Right.
Why? Because it was what the God did for Moses. He showed his butt to Moses. And if you go on the web and put in image where you get pictures, just pictures.
Right.
And you ask the web to show you the pictures of God showing his butt to Moses. It would be on the Sistine Chapel. He's got his pants pulled down. He's showing his butt. And that's something that people don't realize. They will see the pictures, but they don't realize that it's in the Bible. God is showing his butt. He's pulling his pants down and mooning Moses. He's mooning him.
Right. One of these days, I may want to sit down and just discuss with you the artwork that is part of the iconography of what people generally accept as Christianity, because
yes.
there's a lot to it. None of this stuff that was commissioned by the church, which, you know, Michelangelo was several times commissioned by the church, paid by the church, to create many works of art, but so were many other artists. They all had a purpose. It wasn't about artistic style necessarily. When you see a hand raised, when you see an eye covered, when you see, various types of clothing that are worn by characters in the depictions. Almost all of this stuff is loaded with so many symbols, it boggles the mind, Jordan. One of these days, maybe we should do a complete focus on just that, the iconography, the raised hand, the symbols. None of this is by accident. Even when you see the Christ figure holding up their hands and doing certain things. One of the interesting ones is they say all the time, those are the praying hands of Christ. Would you mind talking about some of this stuff that's depicted in the artwork, which is all, again, part of the, part of the greatest story ever told, for sure, because there was a time when people were not able to read as much as they are today. And you had to tell a lot of stories with pictures and statues and things like this. And indeed, even when religious texts were read, they were not read silently. There was usually somebody that verbalized them so that they could be accessible to people who could not read. And these are important symbols too that are all baked into the artwork, Jordan, or am I incorrect about this?
No, you're right. That's exactly right. And that we are seeing pictures displayed in churches today. Mm-hmm. Just go on the web, go to image, and click on the image, and put in Jesus with a magic wand. Magic wands were always, the churches always said, Jesus did his miracles with a magic wand. Mm. Most people don't know that. All of the ancient people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, were used magic wands. And if you go and you go to the web and look up the word magic wands and say Jesus with a magic wand, it will show you all the paintings in the world of showing Jesus with a magic wand and waving it over a sick person and waving it over the dead, and they are revived. So he had the control over life and death with a magic wand. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people know that. It was kind of interesting for me to see that.
Well, that is true. And here's another interesting thing. The symbology in the culture, and we're getting down to, like, say, the last 15 minutes here, so I'm going to cover a few different things. And next Thursday or Thursday, another pantheon maybe we could discuss at some point. But you know, we'll get into some other subjects, but here's an interesting thing which I have always found odd. People tell me that the wearing of a cross, right? You know, you see commonly people wear necklaces with crosses. Well,
yes.
That only indicates Christianity. And I say, well, that's kind of interesting because I can find representative pieces of artwork where people or gods even that are depicted in statues and paintings and other representations are using that symbol, wearing it around their necks, and it's not an ankh. It looks just like one of these crosses you might see somebody wear today.
It's correct.
But
you're
the
right.
Problem is it predates the greatest story ever told.
Oh, of course it does.
Why is that, Jordan?
That's where the greatest story ever told got it from. They got it from ancient history. Thousands and thousands of years ago, people wore crosses around their neck. Mm-hmm. And why? Because the gods wore crosses around their neck. Look at the Sumerian gods and see Sumerian gods wearing crosses around the neck. And so that's why we are wearing crosses around our necks today.
Oh, no, exactly. But that's the thing, is that the greatest story ever told is really the greatest story being retold once again.
That's it.
And that's the fascinating part about this, is that all these elements come together from different places. Look, the idea, the light of the world. Yes, that would be God's son, but it wasn't initially even Zeus, according to other cultures that came before that, Sumerians being among them, right? And you have the Egyptian version of this, which that's a whole other set of names. And
you're right.
Yeah, so there is that element here where you must understand that it is being retold. It wasn't told once. And these elements keep coming together, and the more you examine them and realize that they have commonality between them, just like the crosses we're talking about, it's not being worn because there was literally, this is the honor of, I always found that strange anyway. The idea that was to honor one's religion when you're talking about that cross, but that cross has other meanings. So I'd kind of like to close with that tonight. Why is it that we have two lines meeting together in the symbology, which is not merely a Christian thing, but goes seemingly across almost, well, every one of the mainstream religions in the Western world has some representation of this. What is that about, Jordan?
Well, it's the crossing of the zodiac. Mm-hmm. It's the crossing of winter with summer, and then spring with autumn is another cross. And so it's telling you it's a part of astrotheology. And so that is a very ancient symbol of people wearing a cross. They don't realize Sumerian gods wore crosses. Go on the web and type in Sumerian crosses, and you will see all the different ancient gods wearing a cross.
Right, and I'm actually sitting here while I'm listening to you, believe it or not, and I'm listening very carefully. I'm typing these searches into an engine, and I'm going to put the links to those searches so you can just click on them for yourself. You, the listener, not you, Jordan. You've seen all this stuff. But you do it as he's saying it, and you're going to find these images that, well, kind of go against the general idea of the story. It doesn't make the story invalid, though. I want to make that clear, because I've had people, in the past, and most of them have now, fallen away from what it is I do, thankfully. Who have kind of gotten angry for me having these discussions with Jordan. But the truth is the truth, folks. If you can hear that somebody created a song before somebody else, who do you give credit to? Well, they may do a nice version of it nowadays, and plenty of people have done, cover songs, music, back to the muses again, which we didn't focus on too much. Maybe actually we'll get down to that at the end here. The concept of the muse. Because that has its roots in the Greek system, but actually it's previous to the Greeks, too. The Greeks collected knowledge. Back to that gnosis again. Which is why there's a G at the front of it. But anyway, they collected knowledge. And they collected knowledge from cultures previous to theirs. And so did the Sumerians, let's say. And the Sumerians, in turn, were also collected, just like the Greeks were. And then the Romans adopted, like we talked about Zeus becoming Jupiter. This is the process that has gone on here. So it's not as though the knowledge is false. The belief systems, on the other hand, may be highly problematic. Does that sound unfair to you, Jordan, or am I getting this right?
No, it sounds very correct. You're right. It is probably problematic. When you begin to look at the all the religions of the world, you will see in the realm of theology, there are so many gods and so many religious ideas and concepts that have come from each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. We humans copy something we've heard, and before you know it, it becomes very popular. And then when it becomes very popular, other people, other countries catch on, and they will use that in their religion, and now it becomes popular in a foreign land. And this is why every day we are finding out that we are doing the same things we've always done. And we always are using the same identical symbols and emblems and words. And it's an incredible story. And I have been trying to tell for 60 years, I have been trying to tell the story. At 80 years old, I'm still trying to tell the story.
Well, I want to correct you about that, Jordan. You're not trying to tell the story. You are telling the story. Now, as for whether people are trying to receive it or not, that's another story. Okay? As a famous radio guy used to say, right? That's another story. You know who I'm talking about. And, you know, that's the thing. So, once again, before we're done on time, I want to remind you that you can, because Jordan, yeah, he's 80 today, but toward the end of this month, he'll be 81, and he's going to celebrate his birthday in Los Angeles. So, if you'd like to reach out to him, let him know that you'd like to be there. Official Jordan Maxwell at protonmail.com. Email him. And work it out. You can be there if you like. Meet him in person. Hear stuff like this, but maybe more, because I think you'd feel even more comfortable talking to a room full of people that you know are friends. You know, even that little urge I just had to say bless you to you actually has its roots in ancient religion. but here's the thing. All jokes aside, JordanMaxwellShow.com is the only website that is Jordan Maxwell's. Go there, make a contribution, explore what Jordan has there publicly, but also the Research Society is accessible through there. You can get a lifetime membership for it. Follow directions on the website and you'll find it. And I'll give you the links to all that in the show notes. Also, like I said, for his birthday, Official Jordan Maxwell at protonmail.com. You can email him and make arrangements to do that. That's happening in a couple of days. Please do. But with all of that having been said, Jordan, I look forward to next Thursday when we get together again. And maybe I'll arrange a couple of questions, but I'll see what's on your mind that day. And we can just flow as we've done tonight, if that's okay with you. Because we're assembling yet again another version of the story that you haven't been trying to tell, my friend, but you have been telling, since you were 20 years old, apparently. And that was 60 years ago, so do the math. And indeed, almost 61 years ago, you were 20 years old, because that's coming up. Fascinating time of year that your birthday occurs, by the way. Mine is April 7, but yours come toward the end of this month. Well, that'll be at the time when people could sort of observe a very good point in that that cross we were talking about in the sky. And I urge you to take a look at some of the stuff that Jordan has done on astrotheology, not just on my show, but by all means go through my archives at Ocelli.com. Check out this series on dogmatic theology. There's a mouthful, but very meaningful. We did a 25-part series. I've also done other shows with Jordan, checked in with him, and tried to get a handle on where we're going, because Jordan definitely sees where we've been and has been educating us about that for decades. And I'm extremely grateful to do this with you, but before we go, Jordan, you know, the trouble we're in, you mentioned it. You mentioned the influences. We talk about, well, religion, which is definitely an influence in and of itself. But remember, religion is just something that you do repeatedly the same way. Belief, again, is not the same as knowing. And knowing can be something that you go above with hypnosis. And that is something that is done to keep you from what? The truth. But, Jordan, what are the troubles that we face that you would like to see us possibly, I don't know, survive as a human family? What is the trouble that you think we're in today as we speak?
I think that we are in problems and trouble by not understanding the world we live in. We don't know what the words mean or what the symbols mean. And when you know what the law of the water is, the law of the high seas, is money. And that's why you put your money in a bank, because it's called a river bank. A river bank directs the flow of the currency. And therefore, your money is called a currency. And it's just an incredible amount of information that is so obvious once you see it. Once you understand the profound words and the terms and the symbols that are used around the world, you will begin to see how much you did not know. You always have to unlearn so much in order to learn the truth. And so that's what I've been trying to do, teaching the people to think and how to think. And when we all thinking the same thing, that means nobody's thinking at all. Because the world we live in is so filled with different ideas and concepts and beliefs and words and all the symbols and emblems. And it's just incredible how much we don't know. And we live in trouble. We always are in trouble because we mistake in understanding. We have a wrong understanding, and that's why we get in trouble, because we have a wrong understanding. So this is what I'm doing. And if you are interested to meet me, and I would be happy to talk to everyone at the birthday party. If you have other subjects you want to look at, we can talk about them. We can talk about any subject you want at my birthday party. And so, that's what I want to do.
Absolutely true. And one last thing is that I'll remind you one more time, you the listener, not you, Jordan, but I'll remind you one more time that if you email Official Jordan Maxwell, all one word, Official Jordan Maxwell at protonmail.com, you can make arrangements to be there and do exactly that. And perhaps you can get into some of the questions that I did not ask. You could get into other areas. You could discuss just the dogmatic theology concept, the fact that there is a dogma to it, which, by the way, we could even break down the word dogma if you like. There are so many different things to be decoded. The world is filled with deception, and most of it is done in plain sight. However, the true agenda is generally hidden in the darkness. And why is it that it is hidden in the darkness? Because sometimes the light is too bright to bear for some. And we weren't trained to run into the light. But anyway, we're going to continue to discuss this with Jordan 1 week from tonight. And I'm so happy that you did this with me again, Jordan. And really, I appreciate your time. And can't wait until next week.
Oh, I am the same way. I can't wait until next week.
There you go, guys. Meanwhile, this show is all done, but I do appreciate all of you for listening, and I hope you actually did listen and learn something. JordanMaxwellShow.com. Go there. That is the only website that is Jordan Maxwell's. And I have had the one and only Jordan Maxwell on the show for 2 hours tonight. Be well, everyone. And remember, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.